Hey, Dad, what are you doing that week? Called Dale T&A. Thanks so much for joining us on Wātea. Ngā mihi.
Morena, ata maria, koutou katoa, e wakarongo mai nei.
Kia ora, Rawatu, te rangatira. Tēnā koe, diabetes has been a huge issue for our people. Some of it down to lifestyle issues, but others down to hereditary factors and the like. And the inequities that we face, sadly, are very stark, very real, and our access to care and treatment. When we look at diabetes, Rawatu, and I know you have carefully and deeply over the years, what culturally grounded solutions do you think exist?
Well, that's a really good pātai. And I think lots of the different communities and hapori have a lot of mahi or have had a lot of mahi going on at different times. And the where we've really been let down is in the system, you know, the health system that, you know, that I'm part of picking up some of those. And, you know, we look at, you know, kai and all those social things, because certainly lifestyle and those things are emphasized at times, but I think they're massively important, but I think a lot of them are overemphasized in terms of the personal risk as opposed to all the personal part of it. You know, it's easy to say you should eat this or you shouldn't eat that, or you should do this or you should do that, but when we look at, you know, at a population level, how we're affected as Māori and Pacific and that as well, you don't got to look too far to see where's the concentration of our pie shops, of our vape stores, or the lack of bus, you know, the lack of exercise areas in our areas and those things. So I think in terms of, you know, cultural mahi, I think a lot of the, if it's not the GP clinics, a lot of the GP organisations, and especially our Māori organisations, have been fighting and trying for years to have a lot of those services, whether it be kaiāwhina or a lot of kai, you know, sort of information on kai and that, and all those services which the health system seems to fund in bits and pieces rather than kind of as a just as a baseline, as a, you know, as a universal thing. So I think that, you know, in terms of cultural care, it's broader. It goes into the GP. Into the GP clinics, into the medical centres, but it's also all that stuff out there in our hapori and in our communities. And I think a lot of them have been doing it and are still doing it, but it's getting our health system to recognise those and to support those in an ongoing way rather than an ad hoc way as it currently is.
So just paint a picture of the prevalence of diabetes then, because for most health issues over time we have slowly addressed them, but diabetes seems to be, as in the introduction we used the term, a pandemic that is growing, type 2 diabetes in particular. Could you give us an idea of where we are and perhaps compare it with a decade ago, please, Rawiri? What's the prevalence in our communities of diabetes as we speak, and what direction is it tracking?
Yeah, I should have looked up these numbers before I came on, shouldn't I?
I don't expect you to be. Numbers,
but I think
an overview.
The general trend, unfortunately, is up, and I think we all know. You know, I think we all kind of know that, and some of that is because we've got better treatment, and so we're living longer. So, you know, prevalence is the number of people in the community with something, and so I think the scary part is, I mean, that's increasing because there's more of us living longer because of good treatment, but it's also because we're getting it a lot younger, and that's probably. The other term that you sometimes hear is incidence, and that's the number of new cases, and that's the, you know, the worrying part in terms of those still going up. And so that's the prevention side of it. But a big part of it as well is those who have got it and just picking it up early enough and getting on to treatment, so that we can, yeah, because it's not a death sentence. It doesn't have to be a scary thing. It does involve medication. It does involve changes in lifestyle, but it doesn't have to be all doom and gloom. If we know about it and we work on it together, you know, families and individuals, as well as the medical system with medications and things, then people can do really, really well and not have the long-term complications.
Tēnā koe. So this is about making sure to turn up. We've been talking this kaupapa through the week for obvious reasons, being Men's Health Week, saying, guys, go and get checked up. So as an example, there. Most GPs would test for diabetes at every consultation, wouldn't they?
Well, I think certainly for a lot of our men who don't come in too often, they might be. So the general recommendations for Tāne Māori and Pacific is from age 30, unless there's symptoms or reason to do earlier. So a lot of us will do earlier if there's a family history and we happen to get a younger Tāne in the room, because having that baseline can be really helpful, or if there's other sort of particular reasons. But as a general kind of standard, as part of a, I guess you'd call it a wellness check, but certainly as part of a heart and diabetes check, they kind of go hand in hand. They recommended from age 30 for our Tāne and age 40 for our wahine. And as part of that, you should be getting a blood pressure and sort of cholesterol and a couple of other things along with your kidneys and your diabetes if you can at the same time.
Let's debunk another thing too. People tend to think it's a big person's issue. I've got a mate who's got diabetes, he's skinny as a pin. And so, that's one issue. And sadly, there seems to be a public perception that it's your fault, you haven't been eating right, so you've got to deal with it. But others, and you, I'd like a thought from you on this one, is that it's an economically driven pandemic.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I think it's a bit of both. And for some people, a diabetes test or a couple of blood tests can be a bit of a wake up call to maybe cut back or get rid of altogether those fizzy drinks and certain things which are quite clearly causing it. But for a lot of our people, it's not. Even before all the cost of living and everything, this goes way back. This goes back to being driven off our land, not having access to our kai and all those things. And it's not about trying to cause blame and trying to say that we've got to go back to just eating tuna and only those sort of things. But it's certainly those have been massive drivers of that. Our waterways are polluted, so we don't eat our kai that we used to, and we've got to find other ways of accessing good kai. And we only have to look at in the urban spaces especially, but even more rurally, at the a lot of the the processed kai and the ability of getting cheap fresh kai is difficult. So it certainly is an economic one, and and those are choices that we make as a society to sort of put this back on individuals rather than looking at those system things that we could do to reduce the system, the burden on the health system, but also the burden on individuals and whānau.
So it could be seen as an urbanisation issue. Did we have diabetes anywhere near the rates we do now prior to the urban shift of the 1950s, when so many of our people left rural New Zealand and turned up in the cities? Is it an issue not just of economics, but of urbanisation, do you think, Jared?
Yeah, I don't have any hard numbers or facts on that exactly, but I think it certainly, plays a role, and as does the change in our jobs. A lot of our jobs are less physical than what they used to be.
Sure.
And all of those things. But I think, again, that takes it away. That starts to put it back on the individual to a degree, in terms of, well, you just got to eat better and exercise more, which, as I say, there's truth to that. But, if we look at other factors, we've got to make access to care easier. We've got to make access to testing easier. The cost of going to a medical centre is prohibitive, so it's easier to not get tested, or it's easier to not take the medications and those things. So, and the judgment that sometimes comes with diabetes, right? My medical profession isn't always as easy to listen to or feel like they've listened to you. So we've got to do better as health professionals as well, to not be judgmental and to afford people, the care that they deserve.
This government's been going down a one-size-fits-all health model, and you're saying, we can't have targeted funding to Māori interests. But, of course, with the high prevalence of diabetes among our population, also our cousins from the wider Pacific, it would seem that even if you employed the needs-based assessments, again, it would be Māori and Pacifica that are receiving the necessary treatment, perhaps in higher numbers, for diabetes than other populations. So that's almost a given. And then there is access to the drugs. Now, you work solidly in the access and equity area. Are there drugs that could help our people more that aren't available through Pharmac? Would be one thought. And what are some of the other issues that we are trying to address about the inequities that Māori and Pasifika people are facing every day in this challenge against diabetes?
Yeah, 100%. On a needs base, Māori and Pasifik, need more access to these medications, and so the recent proposal to get rid of that is deeply worrying, and plenty of our medical and other parts of the community have mobilised against that, and so we'll see what the outcome is there. But certainly currently there's some medications which are used internationally as first line, which aren't necessarily first line here in Aotearoa, but they, at least until July, we still have access to them preferentially for Māori and Pasifik. And we firmly believe those things should continue. And more so, overseas, you quite often get prescribed both of those medications together, whereas at the moment we often have to choose between one or the other. And so little things like that just are really mind-boggling when we look at the downstream costs to the system. Not that it should be about cost, it should be about how the people are. The costs is only one part of it. It's the effect on people and whānau. But even when we look at those cost things, sorting out our the best medication for Māori and Pasifik would have massive cost savings for the country, what we saw in our research was Māori and Pasifik who got those medications effectively lived longer. And that's got to be a good thing, right?
Well, it certainly does. I respect the work that you're doing and the teams that are working to address this diabetes surge among Māori and Pasifika. There's a long way for us to go, but we're working together. And if you're listening in today and you haven't been tested for diabetes, make sure next time you're at your GP, you do just that. And, of course, Men's Health Week, fellas. We're talking about us today, so if you haven't yet to get that side of your health checked, let's get on to it. Our guest today, Dr. Rawiri Keenan, long-time kaimahi and Professor of Primary Care at Waikato University. Thanks for joining us on the program, Rawiri. Wonderful to have a cordial. Thanks so much.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. Ngā mihi.